Good evening, everybody. Welcome to one of the saddest nights, saddest days in Coops HD history.
Don't know what's so good about it.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We've been trying all year. We thought things were done. David, I can't even talk about it. You tell them.
This started back in October. We named the Lopes the team of the people because they were the people's team, a transitional team. Doing really good things, had a chance to finish first in their conference. We had the Twitter movement. We would tweet at the NCAA. We wrote the NCAA. We called the NCAA. We called Mark Emmert personally. We called the WAC commissioner. We petitioned the White House. And today, they just never really acted. The Lopes will not play in the NCAA tournament. And this is a hugely disappointing. Chad, we were watching the game, and nothing against Bakersfield. Great game, great team. Congratulations to them. But it sank in when it was on TV that they were calling them the champions, that there would not be a game tomorrow against the Lopes.
Yeah, I've got the bracket right up here on my screen. I mean, great win for Bakersfield, making their first ever NCAA tournament on basically a buzzer-beating three-pointer. 0.2 seconds left, they eventually determined, but it was more or less a buzzer being three-pointer, but that's it. That's it for the WAC. There's only going to be one team from the WAC. It's been confirmed. Despite all our efforts, the Lopes waiver will not happen. It's all over. But we do have one piece of good news. They have accepted an invitation to the CollegeInsider.com tournament, the CIT. They will be playing Monday night at home. So it's not quite all over yet. John, we can still keep rooting for him.
And Monday night it will be on CBS Sports Network, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, national TV for the Lopes, but it's just not the same, David, is it?
It's not, but this is a tournament that they could potentially do very well in. I think they're going to do very well in. It's psychologically, like, you're never excited when you're in a tournament that isn't the NCAA tournament. It takes about a round or two to get into it, but I mean, I think Grand Canyon is going to do very well in this tournament, and it's going to be another building block for a program that is headed in the right direction, transitional or not. They have way more going for them than probably there's 351 Division I teams, and 250 of them would love to have what Grand Canyon has, and maybe even more than that. It really was, although it didn't end the way we wanted to, it was a historic season. And I know that the national psyche and the national media won't appreciate it, but for a transitional team to post that kind of record, to finish in the top 100, that is remarkable. Congratulations, sincerely. We've had a lot of fun with this. We've had way more fun with it than I think we realized we would have at the start. But what a remarkable season for the Grand Canyon Antelopes.
It really is. The Grand Canyon's RPI looks like it's 92. It should not move in the final day or maybe move one point or so. So top 100 RPI is a transitional team. Great season. But let's get into the rest of the games that happened today. John, semifinal day in the Big Ten here. Michigan's shot at locking up a bid for certain was ended, and then a real good game between Michigan State and Maryland.
I get the feeling they watched our podcast last night as it related to Michigan because they saw that we had projected them in after their win against Indiana. But will the committee in New York do the same thing? We'll tune in tomorrow night to find out.
All right. David, Purdue, Michigan State tomorrow. This is the 3 o'clock start. Really just whether or not the committee even really gives much value to this game at all just because of how late it starts. Do you think that there will be a contingency bracket based upon this result?
Oh, yeah, I'm certain of it. It might not impact Michigan State, but I think it will impact Purdue because it changes the complexion of their profile when you beat a number one seed or a top five team away from home. They'll do it. Like, the software that they have allows them to build brackets very quickly. So it's just, where would Purdue be if they win this game? Where would Purdue be if they don't win this game? And they'll just build two. They'll do. Yeah, they'll have. They'll. tomorrow's games will be considered. When I know in the past we've heard committee members say, well, this game wouldn't have mattered. Well, saying it wouldn't have mattered isn't the same as saying it's not going to be considered. What it means is that they considered it and decided, regardless of the result, it didn't change the complexion of the profile. I think a Purdue win would definitely change the complexion of their profile.
And the flip side of the coin there is Maryland. Now their best road win is just going to be at Wisconsin, and also a neutral court win against UConn, so they were not able to cash in this weekend in the Big Ten tournament.
The tournament of upsets kind of continued here as UConn knocked off Temple, although I think UConn is a better team on paper anyhow. Tulane's magical ride with their coach who was fired a game and a half ago came to an end.
Remarkable story. Just unbelievable. I love everything about this.
But David, UConn and Memphis tomorrow for the American Championship. Obviously, a contingency bracket's going to have to be built here because UConn, we feel, is solidly in the field at this point, or as solidly as any team that's near in the bubble talk can be. Memphis, clearly only one way in.
Yeah, only one way in. This Memphis team is nowhere near the NIT. I think UConn's in regardless, but this would hurt them. This is not a good Memphis team. It would be a blemish on their profile, but I think UConn's in regardless.
John, the SEC semifinals were today as well. We had two teams looking to steal bids as well in LSU and Georgia. We're done with them, though, after LSU kind of didn't play very well today, did they?
I think they took the commandments too literally and didn't want to steal a bid, so they just completely laid over for Texas A&M. But Kentucky and Georgia was a much better game because Georgia had actually led for much of this game, and that final score is pretty deceiving because it doesn't tell how much control Georgia had for about 30 to 35 minutes of this game.
And how about this A&M Kentucky game now coming up tomorrow?
Go ahead.
I would still give the edge to A&M in this one, but wouldn't completely surprise me if Kentucky beat them either.
I'm going with Kentucky here, definitely. I think this Kentucky team is starting to play well, although it's the type of team that can go out there and just play great game after great game after great game and then suddenly just fall flat on their faces.
I like A&M in this one. I like how they've been playing better than Kentucky recently. I know that they beat Kentucky under really questionable circumstances earlier, but I like how they're playing. And you mentioned the final score of the Georgia game not indicating how exciting it was. Well, the final score of the Texas A&M LSU game, I don't think did either. It wasn't as close as that score.
We had semifinal day today also, David, in the Atlantic 10, where St. Joe's nice win over Dayton that in our opinion locked them in. In fact, when we get to our survival board, you'll see that they actually did get locked in by us here. Yeah. VCU still on the bubble, but avoids the bad loss to Davidson, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, and they avoided it very, very, definitively.
Who do you think wins this one tomorrow, St. Joe's and VCU?
I think it's going to be St. Joe's. I think it's going to be a real good game. I think VCU's capable of being much better than their paper indicates, and it wouldn't shock me if they won. I think they're both in, although St. Joe's is a lot more safe than VCU. But I think Joe's does it again, and I believe this would be their second championship in 3 years.
Well, we just took a look at four of the five games that are going to be played tomorrow on our last day of the regular season. John, one other game will be the championship game in the Sun Belt. Today we had the semifinals as both Louisiana Monroe and Arkansas Little Rock finally got their conference tournament play underway. Little Rock got a bit of a challenge, though, from Lafayette.
Yeah, this was a team that Little Rock had actually swept during the regular season, and it's pretty tough to beat a solid team in the Sun Belt three times, or any conference for that matter. They did split with Monroe earlier in the year, so this is going to be the rubber game in more ways than one.
And this Sun Belt Championship game was a real good one last year. Are you expecting another good one, David?
It was close. I don't know. It was 38-36, and Ron Hunter was so excited that he tore his ACL. And then when Georgia State went on to win in the round of 64, he injured himself again somehow.
So, and we'll get to that a little bit later as well.
Right. I do think it's going to be a good game, but I think Little Rock's got it. Without it, they cannot get in.
Yeah, they are still on our under consideration board, but I agree that they are not close enough to actually get a bid. Let's run through some of the conference tournament championship games other than the WAC that took place today. We'll begin in the ACC, where North Carolina, Virginia, another pretty good game. Pretty good game, John.
Yeah, pretty good game for the casual fan, and also all but assures that North Carolina should be on the one line right now.
How about Virginia, David? Can they make the one line as well?
They can. I still really like them. I think they're still a better team than North Carolina, which is kind of funny to say after they lost today. But North Carolina, the biggest knock I had on them was, again, the lack of big wins on the road. And now they have the win at Duke, and now they have a massively big win, albeit not a true road win, against Virginia. Yeah, they're on the one. They went for the double. They're going to get it.
David, let me stick with you in the Big 12 here, where the team that's clearly going to be number one overall, another impressive victory taking care of West Virginia, 81-71.
Yeah, West Virginia played really well. They were right in there the whole game. I think part of us, we all remember that Kansas-Oklahoma game. I think we kind of wanted to see part three of that, even though Kansas won the first two. But pretty good game today, West Virginia. Really good team. I think that they're going to end up on the two line, personally. But Kansas is just so good.
But they should do no worse than the top three seed.
Yeah.
And John, over in the Big East, we saw Seton Hall, after a late season win at home over Xavier, beating Xavier for a second time last night, and now taking Villanova in the championship game. Seton Hall playing maybe as well as one of the top hottest teams in the country right now, even?
Well, Villanova was the best overall team in the Big East, but I don't think anyone could deny that Seton Hall was the hottest team in the Big East. Villanova had to be pretty fortunate that their two games against the Pirates came in the first half of the season.
And what do you think
the Pirates had completely gelled.
What do you think this does for Seton Hall's seed here?
I think it puts them in possibly a protected seed, but at the very least, they should be up to the five line now.
I think they're a protected seed. We gave them a protected seed, barely. We'll get to that here in the latter part of the show, but I cannot imagine a team that has thundered down the stretch. I think they're 11-2 in their last... No, it's even better than that. They've won like 13 of their last 15 along those lines. Their only two losses were to Butler, and this was in the Big East. And they just won the Big East tournament. They've had a hell of a couple of weeks beating Xavier again on a neutral floor, and then beating Villanova on a neutral floor.
Yeah, Villanova now is, in my opinion, I think that Villanova falls off the one line with this loss also.
Yeah.
I know there's some talk out there that they should still belong on the one line. I don't think so.
And it isn't just that this loss knocked them off. It's what other teams did. North Carolina beating Virginia the way that they did, and Oregon, in my opinion, getting we'll get to that tournament in a minute. But it isn't just that Nova fell off as other teams climbed on, I think.
And you mentioned Oregon. Probably the most impressive game of the day by one team was what Oregon did to a very good Utah team, just thoroughly dominating them. Final score of 31-point margin of victory, and it was worse than that.
Yeah, it really was. Oregon going for the double here, getting another win away from home. They won at Utah. They've also beaten Utah on a neutral court. They have that earmark of number one seed, outright first place finisher, going for the double, multiple wins against protected seeds away from home. Does Oregon get a one seed from the real committee? It wouldn't surprise me to see them get it.
This was the second toughest league in the country, and I would argue even better top to bottom than the Big 12 is, so I definitely think Oregon is going to get rewarded with the top seed in the West.
Yeah.
I think the Big 12 is a better conference, but I do agree with you. I think our Oregon will be the one seed in the West. We had a potential, maybe a bid stolen, maybe not, in the Mountain West tonight, John, as San Diego State, definitely in the bubble talk. We thought they were going to win this conference tournament. Fresno State, congratulations to them. They've made their first tournament. I think it's been at least 10 years since they've been in the Big Dance.
Well, you have to go back to 2001 and Jerry Tarkanian, the last time that Fresno State had made the dance. And this one was one that San Diego State had also led for a majority of the way, but not obviously not the entire game.
Right, so Fresno State back in the dance. San Diego State is going to be sweating it out tomorrow. David, do you think they get their name called?
I really don't know. We didn't take them, but that's, you know, that's not what the real committee is doing. Yes, I think San Diego State goes in.
Okay. I mean, this team was hotly debated among our committee, along with two other teams that we're going to get into detail a little later on.
Right. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second here. Let's go through the rest of these games. In the Southland today, Stephen F. Austin just did what they've done all season and just rolled right over Texas A&M Corpus Christi and back into the NCAA tournament. John, what type of seed are we looking? Do you think SFA is going to end up with? Only team to go undefeated in their, against their conference.
Undefeated and also getting the double. I mean, when they accomplished this 2 years ago, they got a 12 seed and upset VCU in the first round. I don't think they're going to get up to the 12 this time, but I can certainly see them getting to the 13 and making someone's life difficult on the four line. It'd be Seton Hall.
This is the hottest team in the nation right now also, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk about that going into their game, whoever they get to play.
Yes, hottest team in the nation against sub-200 competition predominantly. But they did. Okay.
They beat Corpus Christi three times, and that's not a sub-200 team.
I've been highly critical over how weak the Southland is and how it's a lot of a paper tiger, but they legitimately looked really, really good today. SFA did.
Yeah. David, congratulations. They finally did it in the America East. Stony Brook finally got over the hump, won the conference tournament championship, making the first ever NCAAs. This was just, Warney there, Jamil Warney for Stony Brook, had just one of the most amazing games also. He literally put the team on his back and just said, I'm winning this. I don't care.
Right. It was kind of remarkable because Vermont led for most of the game. Stony Brook had to come back, and we were in the room, we were on the call, and we were all just kind of waiting for Stony Brook to come back, get the lead, and then blow it in the final minute, kind of like we always did. But they held on the win, and it was just after it happened, you saw the traditional court storming, but think about what this team, these coaches, the fans have all been through, like basically having their hearts extracted from their bodies in three of the last 4 years. To see them finally do it, it almost seemed overwhelming for them. It was really something to see.
Yeah, so congratulations to Stony Brook. It's going to be fun to see them coming up next weekend in the tournament.
And also congratulations to their coach Steve Peichel and his mentor Jim Calhoun, who was in attendance to witness the event.
Right.
John, Big West tonight. Hawaii got it done. It was not very easy, but they did find a way to pull out this win against Long Beach State. Back in the Big Dance again, and they will not be back next year. We can guarantee that.
And I believe this was Hawaii's first bid since 2002, so definitely going to be a sense of urgency in the Big West tournament and also for their NCAA tournament appearance.
Yeah, I personally don't think this team is good enough to win a game, David, do you?
I wouldn't entirely count them out. But I mean, I'm not going to pick them to win, but I think they're good enough to beat somebody that overlooks them. I mean, this team almost did beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think that was more the way Oklahoma played than the way Hawaii played, personally. But
not to mention the location of that game.
Yeah. David, Big Sky, we've been talking about it all year. We've been waiting for it. Finally, Weber State, Montana, the second time they played, and this was the one for all the marbles. Close, good game throughout as well.
Yeah, Weber jumped ahead. Montana came back a little bit, but it really was another very exciting game. Really like this Weber team. I don't know. The Big Sky, especially Montana, they've been competitive in that opening round a couple of times, but I don't know. We'll see.
I really like this, like Joel Ballenboy there on Weber State. I think that whoever they play has got to be ready to shut him down, or they could be in trouble. So this is right. we got to see what the matchup is, but this is the type of team that I would like to take in the first round if they get the right matchup.
Mm-hmm.
John, I know that you are our resident NIT bubble tracker, and NIT bubble teams found another piece of bad news today, right, in the Mid-American?
Yep, this came in the form of the Akron Zips, and based on my totals, we now have a grand total of 14 teams that were regular season champs but are not advancing to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, my God.
That might
that's
be a record.
That's some NIT. Sort of record.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, that could change depending on teams like San Diego State, St. Mary's, Valparaiso, Hofstra, and whether or not they're able to get into the field.
And it could also change based on Little Rock. Should they fall tomorrow, that could throw another team in that
match. That would be number 15.
Yeah.
But congrats to the Buffalo Bulls making their second straight year they've been in, correct?
Yeah, and I kind of hate this for Akron. I thought that they had the best year. I thought that they were the best team. I know they didn't win the game today, but when you look at the whole season, I thought they were the team that had the best shot at getting out of the round of 64. Now,
somebody here picked Buffalo to win this event, so I'll just say that.
Yeah, you did. And, Akron has a very healthy RPI, but I don't see the committee taking them.
Another conference that I picked correctly, David, Conference USA, Middle Tennessee, in a close game over Old Dominion.
Yeah, and if you didn't see this, the end of this game, it was one of the more ingenious plays I've ever seen that just didn't work. They missed the shot. What they did was they inbounded it. They appeared to be lining up for a half-court shot. The announcer even said, oh, he had more time. And then the ball landed right under the basket. They had a wide open tip in, but just couldn't. I mean, it just happened too quick, and they missed the layup. This would have been Old Dominion to tie the game. But Middle Tennessee had the better season. They deserved to win this tournament. They played pretty well all throughout of it. Old Dominion was a team we really liked coming into the year, as I'm sure you recall. That was kind of disappointing, but they played well in this tournament, just couldn't get over the hump today.
Yeah, but congrats to Kermit Davis in the Middle Tennessee into the tournament. This could be another dangerous team, depending on who they match up with as well.
Yeah, and he's done really well there. Not that you want to see a school lose their coach, but he's been very successful there.
He really
and this time they will not have to go through Dayton to get into the first round.
Right.
John, another team, and this is another feel-good story here in the SWAC, where Southern University spent the last couple of years ineligible because of their
administrative moronicness.
Yeah, their entire APR, their entire university was banned from any NCAA championships because of all kinds of APR problems. Finally got things resolved this fall, eligible, and win the SWAC tournament or go into the big dance.
I mean, they finished fourth in the league, but I kept them on my seed list all year because they actually had the best performance of anyone in the SWAC and the non-con, and in some ways I'm glad they and the SWAC get rewarded with the championship here today, so congratulations to the Jaguars.
And last but not least, David, in the MEAC, if you want to see a coach that reacted to it to winning a championship, you should go watch the highlights of the last moments of this Hampton win over South Carolina State.
Yeah, really excited. They won it last year. Actually won the opening round game or the first four game to advance to the round of 64. So I don't know if they're going back to the play-in game, but really good job by Hampton. Won the, you know, finished in first, went on to win the tournament. South Carolina State, I know that this is not very consoling, but they did have a great year, their best year in recent memory, and really up until the last 90 seconds, they were right in this game.
Yeah, and but congrats to Hampton, a very rarity here, the one seed winning the MEAC tournament. We did not think it would happen, but sure enough it did. But the other piece of news we want to get to here is that our Hoops HD committee had a very long session tonight. We did a ton of work. We're going to pull up our big board right here on our screen here. As you can see, a lot of automatic.
Yeah. We got it, Jed.
Okay. I'm going to pull it down then. We're going to use John's screen then.
Oh,
okay.
We're going to use John's. Okay.
Okay. Okay. We've got it up here on John's screen, actually. Okay. We've got the automatic bids have been clinched there. What happened here is we also voted in several more teams. We have now filled out the field, including a contingency team of St. Bonaventure, should UConn win. Should Memphis win, the Bonnies will not be in, according to our committee. We proceed to produce a master seed list as well of the 70 teams, because it's a 70-team tournament, right, David?
Yeah, it's a 70-team tournament when there's two teams playing tomorrow that were contingencies. But this is a fairly common practice. Going into Sunday, you basically have to rank everybody that's still playing and place them where they would be in the rankings if they were to win. And it's, again, we don't have the software, so I don't think we're going to do this, but the real committee probably has ranked 70 teams, and they will build multiple brackets tomorrow to take into account all the possible outcomes of the game. And what they do is that they just adjust the rankings. Or when I say the rankings, you see right there 1 through 70 to be what, they project, well, if this team wins, they'll be ranked here. If this team loses, they'll be ranked here. And then they can very quickly build the brackets with the software that they have. So. Yeah.
Now, here's the big wrinkle for tonight. Syracuse was not initially voted in by our panel. We had actually voted in VCU, Temple, yeah, South Carolina, Monmouth, and St. Bonaventure. But after some further debate, we actually moved to take South Carolina off the board and put Syracuse in their stead.
Yeah, we actually ended up doing a revote involving several teams. Syracuse ended up being in after some convincing. It could be revisited again tomorrow. Our committee does have one more day of meetings. Just a quick note, though, you see there are 70 teams. If you look at number 58, you see Memphis. Should they lose, they'll come out. Should they win, St. Bonaventure at number 45 comes out. You also see both Louisiana Monroe at 63 and Little Rock up there at number 46. Loser of that game will be eliminated as well. That's how we'll get to 68.
Right.
Once that happens sometime, we'll probably be building at least two brackets tomorrow afternoon, sometime after early games are done. And if you're listening to this anytime later on in the afternoon, just look straight up above us, and you will see our final bracket, which will be posted. And the final one will be posted a little bit right around 5 o'clock once all the games are done. Yeah.
And real quick, we're not really trying to guess what the real committee's going to do. We are projecting what the committee should be doing. Can we get it back up there, John?
Give me one sec.
Yeah. But we're trying to project what the committee should be doing. So this isn't what we think it will look like necessarily. This is what we think it should look like. Some of the differences, and we had these discussions, we are fairly certain, I think, that the real committee is going to take St. Mary's. St. Mary's has no business making it, but they were a first-place team. They have a very healthy RPI. Do you guys think the real committee is going to take St. Mary's?
I do think the real committee is going to take St. Mary's. I think a few other changes here. I don't think the real committee is going to give Oregon a one seed. I think we did. I think we will. I'm not convinced that they will. I think that you're going to see Villanova up there in the one line with the real committee.
Yeah.
I personally was one of the people that would have voted St. Mary's in the field, but again, this is a committee, so not everyone had felt that way with regards to St. Mary's.
But again, you can check out our final bracket up top there. If you're listening to this later on in the day, if not, just check back in right around 5 o'clock. Our final bracket will be up there. I think we'll have our colleague John Titel's final bracket as well. And if you haven't listened to it yet, if you scroll down a bit, David had a real nice conversation with John yesterday over his bracketing principles. It's really worth listening to.
Yeah, and it's time for our correspondence. Let's do this. And again, like we just went over, we just showed you everything we had done. Here it is. We've been doing this all through championship week, corresponding with committee chairman Joe Castiglione. It's been a great dialogue, I think. I mean, I think it's we've helped them a lot, and that's what we were really here to do. And here it is. I mean, it's just, I'm just telling them that we are finished picking our field. Call us so we can compare notes, and I'm just going to send that to them right there. So that's our daily course.
Okay, so we'll probably post a little note on the website if he does call us.
Let's
know what he says. Finally, we're going to get to our survival board, and we're going to show you what is actually going to be the second to last update of the survival board. There will probably be live updates tomorrow as some of the games, as the when the Sun Belt game goes final, because that will make, and after the American game as well. But yeah, let's pull it up here. And after the games today, you can see we are down to 76
Yeah.
Without an asterisk anymore.
Right, and some of these we're really reaching on. You know, Valpo, most likely not in. Vandy, most likely not in, although you could make a case for them if you really had to. Little Rock won't get in if they lose tomorrow. So, whereas it's 76, it's probably more like 72 or 3.
Well, but it will definitely go down to either 75 tomorrow, 70, well, if Little Rock and UConn both win, it could go down as low as 74 tomorrow, so keep an eye on that. As those games lose fire, we'll do live updates on that, heading right, just in case the selection committee is doing any last-minute checks to make sure they got everybody, and we don't want them to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But on that note, I guess the next time we're going to be back on the air is going to be probably Monday night. We're going to be doing a review of the actual field that came out, let you know what the committee got wrong, which will be, as compared to our committee, whatever they didn't do that matches our committee is what was wrong. Right, David?
Yeah, I mean, essentially. So we'll either do that tomorrow after the selection show or Monday for our regular Hoops HD report.
Yeah, it'll be up there the next two nights. You'll see it on there. But on that note, it's been a lot of late podcasts here with the Championship Week Video Notebook, another great year of Championship Week Video Notebook. Any final thoughts for the show? Let me start with you, John.
Yeah, it's certainly been an incredible 2 weeks, a lot of parity within the championship fortnight, and I'm sure we can expect the same come NCAA tournament time in the next few days.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward as well to seeing what the brackets are, to fill out my brackets, and to show that despite all the time we spend watching these games, that I end up being completely clueless and getting every game wrong. David, your thoughts?
It was just incredible. I mean, it's amazing every year, but I mean, it seems to me that at the end of this one, I don't know if we've ever had one like this one. Even the opening rounds of the smaller conferences, we saw incredibly competitive, exciting games. It's a great week, and it is kind of bittersweet, getting a little serious. I mean, when you watch as much college basketball as we do, when you love it as much as we do, March is awesome, but there's also, you can see the season dwindling away every night when we update the survival board and there's fewer and fewer teams left. It kind of makes me wonder, I always say that, like, in November, it's great because everything's getting started and you have the longest expanse of basketball ahead of you, but there's still, I mean, we're on the verge of the tournament. I think it's the greatest American sporting event, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a great one. I'm really looking forward to the main tournament, which is the CIT, and that sub-tournament known as the NCAA. But on that note, we will talk to you all again in a couple, either tomorrow night or the next night once the brackets are out. But enjoy the rest of the games, everybody, and we'll talk to you real soon.